guess, like, overlooked sci-fi.
Yes.
Some overlooked schlock horror. Sleepaway Camp is a top shot.
Look,
I think.
Look how the Blu-ray is. $89 for Sleepaway Camp 3.
Three. Not even one. Not even like the one that started it all.
Yeah. And like, okay, look at this. Sleepaway Camp 1, 17. And then this is the collector's edition. And right. Then that one is $90.
For three. Was three like a superior movie?
No. See, three was like.
One was kind of the movie.
One was the horror movie, but like what, two and three were shot back to back.
You've told me that before. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know that myself. Mm-hmm. I was not.
Two is like, one is like the best horror / crap, but two was like, I had a huge crush on Allie.
Oh, yeah.
Allie's Allie.
I mean, she's no, what's her name? Kelly Gaines.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hunsaker.
Yeah.
Hunsaker's kid.
Yeah. But
the swan dive off the 34th floor.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp 2, look at Allie. She's, 80s, like, just she has the perfect 80s blonde look.
She was great. Who was Nancy's buddy in Nightmare on Elm Street?
Blondie. Oh,
she's pretty, yeah, stunning too.
She was stunning. Yeah,
a lot of really pretty, yeah, girls in those movies, man. Yeah.
But Allie was like pure trash. Like, that's like, you know what? Yeah, if you're at camp and you're like, that's mm-hmm. the one you don't want to, like, get away.
Ringer t-shirts and hot pants.
Yeah.
Like, there was a certain 80s camp. Man, we talk about a lot of movies right now, because movies are on our mind at Backside Attack.
Yes, indeed.
Always
on my mind.
Always, yeah. All here, always on my mind.
Yeah.
Good old Willie Nelson, too. No. But there was a certain...
Pet Shop Boys.
That one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pet Shop Boys version, I think, is about as Willie Nelson as you can get.
Probably, yeah.
If Willie Nelson didn't sing it.
Yeah, it's...
It's nasally.
It's just like, it's... Yeah, it's his voice is just like... it's just, yeah, you were always on my mind.
It's very Willie, yeah, Nelson. Mm-hmm. It's got a very Willie Nelson sound without, yeah, being Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
What were we saying? 80s schlock horror. As far as 80s schlock horror goes, or even comedy or whatever it was, there was a certain look and a certain je ne sais quoi to, yeah, the look of the camp counselors in all those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone just wore just blue t-shirts. Yeah,
blue
just...
t-shirts or like white ringer t-shirts, like, yeah, the red rings, like tight pants.
Yeah, that was I love
the guys with the Ted McGinley hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, goes, yeah, it was just yeah, you know what happened here a year ago? Yeah, Angela, yeah, camp counselor, she went crazy. Yeah, yeah, and then she,
why did she go crazy?
Yeah, because she, yeah, because she likes to sing that song, I'm a Happy Camper.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just like, you know what? If I hear that song, I'm going on a killing rampage too.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, a killing rampage where you cut somebody's head off.
Yeah.
And stand there grinning madly with your dick hanging out.
Yeah. Like the, who's that? Like, three is just, it is pure schlock. Like, if you haven't seen three, Sleepaway Camp 3, it is, right, it is so bad. Like, it's bad. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's two is like one and two. That's all I want to see. Three is just like, it's just, it's so big fun of itself in the, right, horror genre that it's just like,
well, it's a parody. It's,
yeah,
a parody of the first two movies.
Yeah. Cause like they're at a lake, they're fishing and she pulls out a hockey mask and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, right, whatever. So
I haven't seen three in a while. I remember seeing it, I think, just cause we talked about it.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it was one of those ones where, like, I did not pay attention to it.
It's the funniest one for sure.
Yeah.
Cause that Hispanic guy from New York, and you have that black guy from right, Los Angeles or whatever, from the Bronx. Oh,
from Harlem, sure, wherever it was.
Yeah. And those two were just like, and that one lady who's like the country, the pristine, like, rich lady girl. Right. And she's just so racist. And it was like, just the lines in that were just hilarious.
It's kind of like, almost like a very like airplane vibe to it.
Where, yeah,
like, everybody's kind of got like a role they play. Like, everybody looks, yeah, a certain way. Everybody, like, you know what? Even when you think of, like, look back at Friday the 13th. Jason Manhattan there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody kind of had a look, and it was almost like a parody of itself.
It was a total parody. Like,
but they all had a look.
Yeah, because remember, like, you did that classic scene where, like, those guys are just playing music on their beatbox or whatever, right, and Jason just walks past them. He just destroys it, and they're like, yeah, whatever.
Like, whatever, man. It's New York.
I'm not messing with that guy.
It is what it is.
That guy's in Jason X, that guy's going to space, so, like, I don't know what to,
right,
say.
We're going to give this guy a couple of years. He's going to go to outer space. Yeah. You're going to do the thing with your keys? You're going to throw it? You're getting ready for it. Behind the back. Ah, I thought you were going to do the cool behind the back toss.
No, that's my,
is your force?
That's the force, yeah.
Force. Mm-hmm. How do can?
Or the shot put.
The shot put.
Yeah.
Kind of in line with that, I had this, like, thought in my head today. It was kind of like one of those dealings that was, like, in my mind. And it's in line with the idea of when something becomes, like, a parody of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that like every, do they even know? Like every movement, everything that's good, horror movies, whatever it is, even like social movements.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that all of a sudden they get co-opted by assholes and then they never, they either don't realize they're being co-opted by assholes
mm-hmm.
or they won't admit they've
they
been.
Won't admit. Yeah, they won't admit it.
And then it just like snowballs into something that it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But nobody will admit this has gone too far. Like we need to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's everything. It's happening everything. With yeah. like the Black Lives Matter movement, the trans movement. Like it happened, even like when you think about the right wing trying to like redefine who they are, the MAGA showed up.
Yeah.
Like every movement eventually gets co-opted. Like a group of assholes, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got great movies out there. And then creators leave.
Yeah.
And another creator gets called on. And then he turns into something that's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And it just goes to shit. And he refuses to admit that mm-hmm. this didn't go in the direction I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
And the creators are like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
Superman's going to send the Kryptonians and giant dildos out of space. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody admits that, look, all that shit we did before, like we had a real vision.
Mm-hmm.
Things were supposed to go in a certain way. We let the wrong fucking people in here.
Yeah.
And they just like burned it to the ground for their own weird purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every movement does that.
Every movement does that.
Yeah, I just thought that was just stuck in my head. This idea that like things get co-opted and nobody is willing to admit like, what's going on with this whole, okay. Like, I don't know, but what's the deal with drag story time hour?
Oh, I don't even know.
What
I just
is going on there?
I don't know, but that's just like, yeah, that's
like the Christians in the drag community.
Yeah,
blew your mind.
It blew my mind. It was like, why is this a thing?
It's almost like I can almost understand the idea of not vilifying drag queens in the public eye. Like RuPaul's been trying to do that for a while, right?
Yeah.
But then it's almost like you push it and you push it and you push it. I'm watching this thing on Reddit there where it's like, and it's not like a doctor video. It's a group of people sitting around like a 5-year-old or like a 4-year-old girl in a chair, and this dude like tassels and a thong is dancing in front of her like it's a lap dance. I'm like, I don't think you should be like twitching your tassels or being a thong around a fucking 5-year-old.
Yeah,
like I think that's kind of like, can we admit that's a little wild?
That's a little over the top.
And I'm pretty inclusive, man. I'm all for the trans people. I believe trans people are people. I believe there should be a human right. There is a human rights issue there, but you're not making any friends with doing that shit.
No, they're not.
Like, you're kind of pushing that a little far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking about today. Before I came here, I was watching Daily Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And just,
of course you were.
Yeah.
You alt-right troll.
you have to watch everything.
You have to watch everything.
You have to watch everything. And then, because then you can, like, the more informed you are, the more, like, the more receptors you have to everything, the more, like, right. I think the more well-informed you are.
More input is better.
Yeah. So, Ben Shiro was, like, talking about, he was rating the, after the Oscars, he was, like, just ranting on, like, how, like, because he hates everything.
So. Yeah, which is fine. That's the part of Ben Shapiro actually like.
Yeah, he hates everything. So, he was talking, like, he's a comic nerd, I'll give him that, but mm-hmm. he says, like, he was talking about how he made a statement about Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
So you see him watch a couple of times. He's like, it's just, he goes, yeah, it was kind of like, it wasn't my type of movie, but it was like, you know, there was nothing really like, it was just, you know, it was a well-made movie. Yeah. And so, but he said, he goes, I bet you anything in 2 years, no one's going to watch this movie again. And he goes, you know why? He goes, and this is not picking on this movie. Every Oscar winning movie
mm-hmm.
in 5 years time, no one has watched those movies again.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And he's like, right. He goes, I'll go back. He starts going back about 5-6 years. He goes back to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he goes, all these movies here. He goes, did you ever watch that movie again? Did you watch that movie again? Did you watch that movie again? He goes, 2008. What movie should have won Best Picture that year? The Dark Knight. Did it win Best Picture? No. So he goes, and so what they're trying to do, what the Oscars are failing to do is to nominate more movies that people actually want to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, I mean, okay. I've been banging this drum for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm a big, and this is like a tangent to that. Like I say, who beat Stallone for the best supporting actor?
Oh, I can't remember.
Right. You can't remember. Do you remember the movie?
No.
Yeah. You know why you don't remember the movie? Because he fucking sucked in Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
It was Sniffy McSnifferson, where all he did
Oh, that's right. Bridge of Spies. That's right. Yeah.
He sniffled around next to Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Didn't have an iota of like, I didn't care for him at all. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't care about that character at all.
Yeah.
And he barely registered on my radar. But Tom Hanks needed an Oscar winner to push the BFG.
Yeah.
Which is, or Spielberg, which was his next movie.
Yeah.
So him and his buddies lobby and they lobby and they lobby and throw billboards and money at this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Until he gets the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
When clearly Stallone and Creed should have gotten that Oscar.
Yeah, remember when he won the Golden Globe and he got a standing ovation by everybody?
It was the Brendan Fraser of that era.
Yeah, and they play the Rocky theme. It's like, you know, yeah, like that's give him like just
give it to him, man.
Give it to him.
Yeah. And that's what the Oscars is. Those movies, they're just like small time award bait that nobody's gonna give a shit about.
Yeah, I don't know what won in 2019 Best Picture.
I don't know, probably one of those shitty ones that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, it was something that doesn't matter. Because, like, those movies are just there to, like, get awards so some guy, some producer can, like, Weinstein, like, they can bully that shit through so they have more clout for the next movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like, popularity never wins the Oscars.
No.
For the first time ever, maybe the Brendan Fraser thing is the only one. Not a superb movie. Well-told story.
I haven't seen it, but from the clips I've seen of him in that movie, because Brendan Fraser has that likability to him.
Absolutely.
And to see it crushed is like, it's sobering. And it's like, he deserved it. And he played that so well.
Right.
And so he totally deserved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's like one of the first times in a long time where you've seen somebody who really deserved it.
Yeah.
Who gave a popular performance. It was a good performance, and he got the Oscar for it, regardless of, like, the mob of nuts out there who, like, you know, oh, he put on a fat suit, F that guy, no way, cancel Brendan Fraser, whatever, we should get on a fat actor. Mm-hmm. Number one, get me a 600-pound actor who has the acting chops of Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, remember when, what's his face, Bryan Cranston got in trouble because he played a paraplegic?
The guy in the wheelchair?
Yeah, a guy in the wheelchair.
The quadriplegic.
Yeah, so they wanted to get a real quadriplegic to play that role. Yeah.
Get a real... Find me one with like Stephen Hawking level chops.
Yeah.
And can actually speak.
Yeah.
Get me that guy.
Yeah. What did Bill Burr say about that? He's like, he goes, yeah. He goes, how'd you prepare for this role? I took a nosedive into an empty pond.
Yeah. I took a nosedive
into an empty pool.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been preparing for this role my whole life.
It's like, look, man, I agree that there should be more opportunities out there for actors. Like, okay, a great example is, I don't know if you've been watching that new Lost. It's La Brea.
No.
It's basically Lost. It's a bonkers TV show. It's a network show, and somehow it's so wacky, it's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
The girl in there who plays a girl missing a leg is actually an actress who is missing a leg.
Mm.
She's a good actress. She's it's not a hindrance to her character.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make reference to it over and over again. So I get it. You hired a disabled actor, and I don't think she's disabled at all, man. This girl can fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's no real disability there. She is actually differently abled.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rare to get somebody who aspires to be an award-winning actor who also has a disability.
Yes.
It's not easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the kid from, Corky Thatcher, Life Goes On.
Yeah.
Fucking kid of Down syndrome, brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Super rare,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not going to happen. Warwick Davis, he's a little person, brilliant actor.
Ah.
Mickey.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of which.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld. There you go. Yeah. Willow will not get a second season because it bombed so bad.
I'm not surprised. You had this, like,
nobody asked for that show.
Brilliant opportunity. Well, you know what? People, I think, have been asking for a sequel, and you didn't deliver a sequel to Willow. Yeah. You delivered your own thing that was just fucking hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
It wasn't good. You know, you pushed a narrative down
people's throat. Just down to people's throat.
And it wasn't what people wanted.
Yeah. I understand you couldn't have Mad Mardigan. Mad Mardigan was that movie.
Right.
And
Mad Mardigan, really, he's the movie, he's the game. It's him and Willow.
It's him and Willow, yeah.
It's their relationship that is everything.
Yeah, it's everything. And then, like, you just layer on some Lord of the Rings ripoff, and then you're right. Good to go. And so, but he's like, he didn't portray, like, it never felt like he was playing a character in that time. It's like, he's Val Kilmer, just right. Letting loose. He didn't have to change character.
He was just a dumber version of Iceman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like a more impulsive, dumber Iceman.
Yeah.
In a medieval setting.
Yeah. And he had all the Val Kilmer quips. Like he would flip things, like wrote like in his fingers and is taking swords and right. like flipping them in the air. I'm like, that's adventure.
Yeah.
This, like, I don't want to see, like, I haven't seen the Willow show. It looks so dumb. Like,
there are great examples of of non-binary characters, of lesbian characters, of gay characters in shows. Mm-hmm. You can make shows based on characters like that.
Yeah.
And you can have great new characters. But all people wanted was Willow.
Yeah.
And what happened to Allura? That's all they wanted.
Yeah.
That's all people wanted. But instead they're like, we're going to fix this non-broken thing.
Yeah.
It ain't broken. We're going to fix the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. All the men will be useless and drunkards. Yeah.
Bunch of little drunken cucks.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
It's unfortunate. Co-opting a movement. Yeah. You had people out there who had something really good, you know, co-opted by a bunch of assholes who thought we'll make it better. Mm-hmm. We'll do this thing as better because those old fucking people back in the '80s didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Ron Howard
didn't know what he's doing. Spielberg and George Lucas, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, Spielberg wasn't involved, right? It's George Lucas.
George Lucas, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't know what they're doing. George Lucas is a old cuck to the machine.
Yeah.
Libtard. He doesn't know. by today's standards, he's a hardcore conservative.
Yeah.
You know, he had a straight male lead and a straight female lead and a dude kissed his sister. He's a hardcore conservative. Screw that guy, right?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I was watching Return of the Jedi yesterday on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did you do that to yourself? That version?
Yeah. It is just, I just wanted from a technical standpoint to see how it sounds and it looks. So it looks, but it's, man, the Ewoks are just awful. And like, they're hilarious. Like the sounds they make are hilarious.
Right.
But like, it's just like, what a way to like end that trilogy. Like,
but
like everything with Darth Vader and the Emperor and Luke is great.
Right.
Yeah. And the first scene is awesome. Everything in the middle is just hot garbage. Yeah.
But you didn't think that way when you were 6 years old.
No, I was 6 years old. I loved it.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at it through the wrong lens.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can still watch it now and just be like, okay, granted it is not Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
But it's like, Those Ewoks are just like, you just laugh at them now because like the sounds right. they make, they're hilarious.
Here's my question also. Are you judging it harder because you do kind of know where initially was supposed to go? Like knowing now what we didn't know then, that, you know, was supposed to have Wookiees, Luke's supposed to go dark, all this stuff is supposed to happen.
I didn't know any of that. No.
You didn't know any of that?
No.
Did you know, but you knew it now.
I knew it now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know it now. Looking at it now for what it could have been.
Yeah.
That's where I get bummed out as an adult watching it.
Yeah. It's like,
what could have been?
Yeah. What could have been? Right. So like, it's just like you put inside like little Ewoks
mm-hmm.
and just made the entire battle of Endor, like on the planet.
Right.
The siege of the power of that station. That's going to the shield generator.
Just another shield generator.
Yeah. It's just another shield generator. That's what they always do. If you just put up a new shield generator, you're good to go.
Yep.
If you can blow that up, you're good to go.
Because then you have a team that has to go deal with the shield generator.
Yeah, exactly. Shield generator.
That's a huge plot device right there.
Yeah. Shield generator, Star Wars go together like bullets and guns.
It's like, you might as well just call it the MacGuffin.
MacGuffin. Yeah.
It should be on the planet. Be like, where's the MacGuffin?
Yeah.
The MacGuffin's over there. Let's go deal with the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Hop, 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 hop. Yeah. They'll go over. Deal with it. Meanwhile, Luke is fighting a lightsaber battle against an old robot.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just barely but the end fight scenes, like in the run on the Death Star again, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Great, beautiful, loved it.
Yeah.
Just the Ewoks, you're just like, it's like awesome, then just comedy, and right. then just and then at the end scene is just great, like with Luke and Darth Vader, but yeah, it's just, with the Ewoks, just fucking ruin everything.
I kind of think to myself with the Ewoks, the same way I thought to myself of, and I feel really bad saying it because I know all the troubles he's had, but Jake Lloyd, if you take away like 50% of his dialogue and you remove 50% of Jar Jar Binks,
yeah,
then they're both palatable and Phantom Menace isn't nearly as bad as it is.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Ewoks.
Yeah. You would have to fill it with something else.
I don't even think you have to. I think you get rid of a lot of the, you get rid of a lot of stuff. You get rid of the Ewoks just taking down an army of stormtroopers.
With stones. Yeah.
And you just eliminate certain aspects of that.
Yeah.
Because there is a ground force battle happening.
Yeah.
That you could just kind of make, you just ignore. You ignore a bunch of the Ewok shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you just have key moments where they kind of steal the walker.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If there are key moments there, you're like, mm-hmm. how the fuck do they steal a walker? Because they're fun little weirdos, man.
Yeah.
If you just put that in there instead of like them suddenly being able to hoist up these gigantic like boulders and logs to smash that shit.
Yeah.
Then it becomes more realistic.
Yeah, because it takes away the coolness of like the stormtroopers.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like the fact that they're an elite fighting force.
They're not.
But we know they're not.
Yeah.
But if you don't have them fighting the Ewoks, they kind of still are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. If it wasn't for those Ewoks where they're just getting pummeled by mm-hmm. stones and it's like, please don't hurt us. And then like, oh, they're just like getting hit by like slingshots and then like, but they have protective helmets on, but yet it still hurts them. But like, I don't know.
Right. You know, a rock on it can't get cut by a lightsaber, but an Ewok with a slingshot will fuck you up if you're a stormtrooper.
Yeah. There's no, I don't know, but
there's a lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
There's a lot, but there's also that, like the air of nostalgia. Like when you look back with the lens of a 6 year old.
Yeah. Yeah. I can still enjoy it. I can still enjoy it. I can still enjoy it. But,
I definitely enjoy it more watching the original version though.
Oh yeah, for sure. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah. Though there is something
Lucky
about
you.
Oh, lucky all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't easy to do, but I did it. And they're in there.
They're in there. Yeah.
They're in the can right behind us.
Yeah. And
anybody who's got a thumb drive and 6 gigs of space or 40 gigs of space for New Hope.
That's true. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of movies, 24th, going to go see John Wick 4.
I just saw the review from the old Victor Lucas yesterday.
Wow.
And, oh man.
It is like, I don't know what's coming, but like, oh my God. It
looks like an epic.
An epic, yeah.
It looks like fucking Denis Villeneuve shot this thing. Like,
it looks like Roger Deakins did the cinematography on it. Yeah.
It's got that, like, everything is so well framed.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how, like, every shot is a frameable picture.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And,
horse in the desert.
Yeah. 24th. I have that day off.
Well, I think we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we're gonna go see it.
We're gonna go watch ourselves.
It looks it looks incredible, and the siege of that hotel in Tokyo is supposed to be like, and it's shot like from three perspectives. You know how Dunkirk was, where it's shot from three perspectives.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but it's like shot from like three perspectives, like when they're taking the siege of that. Oh. It's supposed to be unbelievable.
I did see the top down shot.
That top down shot was incredible.
That straight top down shot where it felt like you were playing like a. Like, you know, Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Where it's like you've got enemies behind walls and you can see everything and you have to like navigate your
way
through.
That's crazy.
It's beautiful. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah. And like they said, this might be the last John Wick movie.
Oh, it will not be.
The only reason they said, like,
no way.
No, the only reason why I'm saying that is like they said, they even said, like, the directors said, like, we're going to have to take a break from John Wick.
Yeah. He doesn't know where to go.
Yeah. Cause like, they're like, yeah. They're like, what else can we do? Yeah. Like, they said, when you see this movie, you're going to be like, what else can we do?
Well, he was talking about,
unless there's one where they kill John Wick.
Yeah. Well, that's how the series has to end. Right. That's kind of what he's talking about. He's like, this guy doesn't just go off in the sunset with his wife and new girlfriend or whatever it is.
No, he goes on a blaze of glory.
Yeah. He goes on a blaze of glory. It's not like he's going to have this thing where roll credits. He's on a beach. Like, what's it? Just Cause 3,
mm-hmm.
where he's sitting on the lawn chair watching shit explode.
Yeah.
Just having a cerveza.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that for John Wick.
No.
John Wick doesn't disappear.
No.
He ends up either running. He's either the head of the high table or he's dead.
He's dead.
It's one or the other. And even then, he's probably got people gunning for him.
Oh, yeah. Like the whole, like, I just heard this, the scenes in there where he takes out a whole town, basically, and it's just supposed to be. Yeah. I don't want to get no spoilers, but like, yeah, that's just going to be crazy.
I said something like 7 or 8 fight scenes, which are all like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they're all brilliant.
Brilliant.
Like, the beauty of it is you're not, I know people get like, they get the fatigue, right? The fight fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you can't look at it like that. You've got to look at it as like a display of choreography.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching 7 very well choreographed long takes.
Yeah.
You know, multiple takes in between, but there are all these scenes all the time where he has those long walks down a hallway.
Yeah.
The old boy style where it's just like one guy, mm-hmm. where he's just taking down multiple bodies. And you have to look at it from that, like the technical feat of what that is.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
And won't get tired.
You won't get tired. Yeah. Even they said like this, the pacing in this movie is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that's one thing they talked about is that you don't get the fatigue of like so much action.
Right.
Because no two scenes are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I'm totally down with that.
And the thing I like about it is that they switch it up in the sense that they said the guys now they even mentioned in the movie, like, it's part of the movie that they're more armed now.
Yeah, they have to be.
They have to be. So like, they're like, John Wick can't like just shoot him right here and then they die, right? So like that scene where like John Wick puts the guy against the wall, puts the gun in his throat and just unloads
clip
it to them. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Well, I mean, that's like, we know now that the thin clothing that he wears is enough to stop a 38. Right?
Yeah, but it will, like, it'll hurt. Like,
but it's breaking all of his ribs and shit at the same
exactly,
time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So like, when he does shoot somebody, the risk is always there that when they're armored like that, like the body armor some of these guys are wearing, it's like full on SWAT
tactical shit. It's tactical shit.
And then is layered in the magic John Wick like cloth as well.
Yeah, I remember, like, and the thing is, like, there's continuity there too. So if you watch the shootout in John Wick 2,
mm-hmm.
when he goes into the catacombs, he's like, after he's like, he escapes everything and he's in the catacombs and he's waiting for those guys to like come get him.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's like grabbing his chest and he just goes like this and he pounds his chest. Yeah. The shells just come right out.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
They pay attention to very cool detail.
Yeah, there is definitely a like a hardcore level of nerd continuity.
Yeah,
to get all the details threaded together.
Yeah, and it's weird because like I was watching that and I was like, wait a minute, because I was watching the Matrix Resurrections the other day,
which is just a subpar mess of a movie.
Yeah, technically speaking, it's great.
It looks great.
It looks beautiful.
The Unreal Engine stuff they use in that movie looks amazing.
Yeah, like the...
But what a waste of story.
It's just it looks beautiful, it sounds beautiful, it's filmed beautifully. It has its moments, but it's not like the series gets progressively worse, I'll say that. And if you watch Keanu Reeves fight in that movie, it looks like, I don't know, it looks like he's aged. I'm not sure if that's on purpose.
I think that's on purpose.
That's on purpose. But if you watch John Wick, like part four, if you watch the scenes from that,
yeah,
he is like Neo. Like the way he fights, his movements and everything is so quick.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's on purpose.
That might be on purpose, yeah.
Because like Neo by then is just a nerd.
Yeah.
Like he's just a dude who's been blue-pilled.
Yeah.
Back in the Matrix, doesn't know where he is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had no, he's had a lot of ring rust.
Yeah.
He's not moving the same way.
Yeah.
But then John Wick has been moving the way he's been moving for, what, 8 years?
What is he, like, what is he, 57 now?
Yeah, close to 60.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not 57, he's between that and 60 for sure.
Yeah,
he's up there. And still moves like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just in immaculate condition.
Yeah, same as Tom Cruise. Like, Tom Cruise is what?
He's 60.
Yeah, and he's still going strong.
I think he's 60, isn't he?
He's still strong.
He's still moving really well. Cocaine and steroids, man. Cocaine and steroids. And you know, Keanu Reeves is just pure positivity.
Yeah.
Like, Keanu Reeves is running on 100% good vibes.
Good vibes.
I mean, I still remember the Jay Moore thing when he's eating a steak on a paper plate with a fork, like a plastic fork and knife.
Yeah.
And Jay Moore's like, what are you doing, man? He's like, you got to keep your blood up. You got to keep your blood up, homie. Otherwise, you're going to be in terrible shape.
Yeah.
You're going to be old before you know it. He's like, you got to get all that iron in your system. Keep your blood up. And Jay Moore, it's like he had this like epiphany. I was like, oh, shit. No, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason that he's like super positive.
Yep.
He's just a nice guy. Doesn't treat anybody like shit.
Yep.
Has gone through all this shit in his life, but he just stays positive and keeps himself healthy.
Yeah.
And takes like projects that he loves.
Yeah.
Stays in great shape.
That's a life lesson for all of us.
It's a life lesson for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Cruise just does a ton of cocaine and just keeps ringing that Scientology bell. He's good to go.
Man. Yeah, do whatever works for you, man.
Whatever works for you. Yep. I mean, like, if it's working for you, I say do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally behind Tom Cruise.
I'm totally behind him. Yeah. I don't care what he's doing in his personal life. Honestly, I'm at the point now with a lot of these, like, celebrities and the shit they say. It's either, like, I don't want to hear you, so I tune you out.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I don't care anymore. Unless if you're murdering somebody or raping somebody or being a big piece of shit. Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, signed, sealed, delivered, charged, Cosby'd. If you're not that guy, I kind of just don't give a shit about getting into the drama.
Yeah.
Especially when people are like talking about it.
Yeah. That's it. You know, one guy that I just can't stand anymore. Just like, go away. Like, shut up. Like you're just, every time I see you, you're just like, you're just a big dumb animal.
Zach Braff?
No.
I would have thought Zach Braff.
The Rock.
The Rock is a big dumb animal.
He's a dumb animal. I'm like, get out of here, man. Like, no.
I have no hate for the guy, but like at the same
time, I don't have any hate. I'm just like, I'm so sick and tired of him. I'm just like,
he's overexposed.
He's
overexposed.
If I was tanning and if I was The Rock, like I'd be like, I would get a sunburn. Like my skin would be black. Like just cause like, he, just if I was like, if I had The Rock's personality, like transformed into like tanning.
If you had The Rock's personality transformed into light energy and you were under it, you would be charbroiled.
I'd be charbroiled. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot going on.
Yeah. He's so, like, oh, I don't know, man.
He's overexposed.
He's like,
overexposed.
Oh my God. Like, it's an overripe fruit.
I will say, though, there was a, I can't remember exactly what it was.
It's like Neo Tokyo.
It's Neo Tokyo.
Yeah.
The Rock is, The Rock is Tetsuo, like, as he's transforming and doesn't know what's up.
Yeah.
Like, he's at that level.
Yeah.
Like, he can still not transform, but he's losing so much control of what he is that he's about to do that explosive part of the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaneda is just like, oh, God. And we're all Kaneda.
Yeah.
We're all like, what is going on here?
Yeah, because the thing is, too, like, I was thinking about it, like, what do you have to do at the Oscars? Like, what are you supposed to do when you're there?
He's a draw for kids, man.
Okay, so, no, let's say if, okay, no, let's say me and you are, like, let's say...
We're co-presenting?
No, let's say we become actors, okay? And we're just like, oh, we're just right. Starting out, but we had a one hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you know what? Everyone likes what we do. Let's see, we had a show like Stranger Things, for example.
So basically, right? We have this show going on right now.
Yeah. So
everybody loves us.
Yeah. Everybody loves us, right? And then we got invited to like, we have a popular show, and they were like, you know what, guys? You guys are invites to the Oscars, okay?
Right.
What would you do if you were there?
I would act like a normal human being.
Okay.
And I would do what was asked of me. I wouldn't embellish myself or push my brand.
Okay.
I would act like I've been there before.
Okay. Who would you talk to? What would you do to like, would you do anything to like Like talk to producers and talk to directors and be like, hey, how's it going? And just try to like get your name out there.
Yeah, they're next to me, but yeah. I wouldn't seek them out.
Okay.
I think that's a big mistake. I think the rule of any of that situation is act like you've been here before.
Okay.
And it's not a place for you to promote because you're already being promoted.
Okay. So let's say this. Okay. Name me top five actors that you, if they tried to talk to you, would not want to talk to them.
I would not want to talk to them?
Yes.
I would definitely talk to The Rock though. I mean, come on.
No, I'm not saying The Rock. I'm just saying, who would you not talk to?
Who would I not talk to? That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that I would give almost everybody the time of day.
Okay, name the top five targets you would seek out.
That I would seek out?
Yeah.
Number one on my list?
Yeah.
Number one's a weird one, too. Not everybody thinks number one.
Okay.
Kurt Russell.
Oh, I just good one. No, that's a good one. Yeah.
He would be a lot of fun to hang out with. He's royalty. I would love to hang out with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn mm-hmm. at a ski lodge drinking whiskey,
yeah.
talking shit. I would like, everybody's like, no, whatever. And Tom Hanks would be up there. I think Tom Hanks would be a lot of fun.
Right. I think he's definitely on my list.
He'd be on the list.
I know why he's on your list though. Yeah.
Oh, the Burbs.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to talk about the Burbs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like super underrated.
Mm-hmm.
If I got the chance, David E. Kelly, because I think he writes incredible dialogue.
Yeah.
Lake Placid is a remake of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would love to do that. That's a tough list, man. The rest can kind of like go in and out.
Okay.
There's a few who you see them there. You're like, oh, whatever. Seth Rogen would be fun. I think he'd be a lot of fun.
I think you'd get annoying after a while.
I think he would be, but at the same time, he is what he is. And I understand what he is.
Cause the thing is, I can't talk to potheads like for an extended period of time.
But I also have to look at what he does in Hollywood. Like he does Invincible. Mm-hmm. He does Preacher. Like he's actually making good content.
That's true.
Like
yeah.
he's not, mm-hmm. he is a pothead, but he makes very innovative content.
I think you would have to like drive that conversation. Be like, then just talk about that stuff.
I mean, it depends. I mean, I don't know him personally. So I don't know if he's willing to chitty chat.
If I had to give you his advice, I'm like, you know what? Stick to that content. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see what his process is. What else did he just do? That was, there's something else right now that he's got out there. I was just watching it. That his name was all over it. I'm like, fuck, I didn't know that.
Mm.
I think he's actually becoming a very innovative content maker. Mm. Not content creator like an influencer. With these assholes on Instagram. He makes good televised content.
Yep. Okay.
So I'd do that.
I agree, yep.
How about you? What you got? What's your list of... Okay, well, for you, who are the top... Let's go, like, the top. Your Mount Rushmore of... I ain't fucking talking to you. I ain't talking to that guy. That guy's garbage. That guy's a dumpster fire waiting to happen.
Oh my God, there's so many.
Well, number one, obviously, for you is The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
You don't want to talk to The Rock.
I don't want to talk to him. I'd probably put Kevin Hart in there.
Aww.
Yeah.
But he's a harmless.
I should say, yeah, Kevin Hart. I don't think I don't want to talk to him.
I like Kevin Hart.
Yeah. No, he's...
He'd be over on that Don Cheadle Kevin Hart experience.
Yeah, actually, I don't know.
Kevin Hart would be... I think Kevin Hart... What we see on screen is a character.
Okay, granted, like, since he's not invited there anymore, Will Smith would be one of them.
Oh!
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're totally right. Yeah.
Who else? Who else would I avoid? Who's really annoying?
Really annoying.
Who would you get invited there? That's popular.
Super popular. A real bummer to be around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think here.
Let's see.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson's a weird one for me.
Yeah, I would not talk to her. Let's say if she sought me out and she loved my content, I'd be like, you know what? I don't want to talk to you.
I think she's a victim of being placed in a position where she assumed they wanted her to be a certain way.
Okay.
And that fucked her.
Okay, you know what? I completely disagree with you.
Yeah. I look at, you know why I don't think she's...
No, but I want to hear this. Go ahead. Yeah.
Craig Ferguson never had a shitty conversation with her.
Okay.
Then, and that guy, in my mind, that's the one who I would talk to. That guy has gotten...
Craig Ferguson's awesome. Yeah, I love that guy.
Phenomenal. I kind of feel like...
If he was there, actually, I'd stick with him the whole time.
Absolutely. Craig Ferguson, Billy Connolly?
Yeah.
Can you imagine hanging out with those two
months? Yeah, and plus, it would get you laid.
It probably would.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
They would for sure.
I mean, there is like a stink he puts on to you.
Oh, I don't care.
If he thinks... No, what I mean is like, if he thinks you're cool, people think you're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a great deal. Which is why I think the Brie Larson thing, I think she's getting a bad rap because she didn't go in... She didn't go into it as herself. She went in being what she thought they wanted and it bit her in the ass.
Mm.
I think she got fucked over by this concept.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give her a shot. Because Room was really good. It didn't come out that much sooner than Captain Marvel did. Why is one garbage and one's great?
I think it just took her from here
mm-hmm.
and then launched her into here where she was not supposed to be.
And that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Kim Kardashian's awful. Kanye West is
awful. Yeah, I was thinking about Miley Cyrus, too.
Justin Bieber's awful.
Yeah, Justin
Taylor
Bieber.
Swift is awful. There's a lot of singers. Gwyneth Paltrow apparently is awful. I don't think so. I think
she's right. All those people are, like, Lindsay Lohan, I don't know.
Lindsay Lohan, too. I think she's not terrible. I think she, again, a victim of what
happened. Paris Hilton I would definitely talk to.
I think Paris Hilton is actually smarter.
And I think so, too.
More creative and better than people give her credit for. Yep. Donald Trump. Madonna, I would. Madonna scares me. I want nothing to do with her new face.
Anne Hathaway
seems all right.
Yeah, I talked to her.
Yeah. Why are they putting her on there? Yeah, as much as I hate the Kardashians, Kylie Jenner seems like a
Ellen DeGeneres. Person. If I saw her, I'd walk away.
Ellen DeGeneres, I think you'd
Cardi B, I'd walk away.
Look at her.
Yeah,
Cardi, I have a weird relationship with Cardi B. I think Megan Fox is not as dumb as people make her out to be, or as rancid.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she's fine to talk to.
Right, Perez Hilton.
Yeah,
Perez Hilton. You know
what they were. Rihanna would walk away from.
Rihanna seems like awful. Like rancor.
Yeah.
Annoying celebrities who should just go away. We're doing it again, huh? We're going to like the celebrity files again. I was really hoping it goes like Caitlyn Jenner.
Kanye West for sure. I would you know the thing is? I would like to talk to him, but at the same time, 3 minutes, 5 minutes later, I know I'd be like, I regret
not walking away from this when I saw him across the room.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I could knock him out.
I think anybody.
I think I could, yeah.
He's got that big old wire jaw now. He's got a lantern jaw.
Well, if I put him in there, it's going to cut whatever's in his mouth. So.
I will say this, though. The old Caitlyn Jenner thing. I think people need to go watch that Netflix, the Untold?
Mm-hmm.
They need to go watch the Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner documentary. It's a very, when I was younger, being a fan of like track and field and athletes and all that kind of stuff and the Wheaties and being young enough, or old enough to know all that, even though it was before our time.
Yeah.
We had a very complex, like, American Canada love-hate thing with Jenner.
Yeah.
And what he was doing. I mean, an incredible athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But it really opens up this, this struggle he had years before we ever knew anything that was going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Obviously, you can be two things. You can be a gigantic piece of shit, too, and I think she made some, like, terrible fucking decisions.
Yeah.
With, like, the car accidents and the texting and just, like, the way she's portraying herself now and the whole, like, I don't believe, like, I'm a traditionalist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in gay marriage. All that's weird as shit.
Yeah.
But you get a very deep perspective and insight.
Yeah.
Into who Caitlyn Jenner was when she was Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
It's an incredible documentary. And the well-shot and the music and well-edited. It's very good. I would highly recommend, before you get on board how much you hate her, at least go watch that documentary.
You know, also, who's another person I would not want to talk to who's that East Indian actor? He was in Eternals.
Eternals?
Yeah.
Oh, Nanjiani?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't hate him. I think he's an idiot. I don't think he's an idiot.
I didn't say it, you did.
No, I did. Not in the sense that he's like, ugh, it's a fucking idiot. I think he's like a goofball. I think that's who he is. And suddenly he's jacked and he doesn't know where to go with it.
Well, the thing is, I wouldn't want to like learn, because he hasn't done anything I've ever been interested in.
Silicon Valley was good.
He didn't make Silicon Valley good.
I think his character was a better representation than that Nerf ball in fucking Big Bang Theory.
I would, like, I'm not curious, because Silicon Valley was like, it was a good show, but I'm like, I wouldn't learn anything from talking to him.
Right.
It wouldn't enrich my life talking to him. Like, if I had to pick someone, number one, who I would want to talk to regarding movies, if I had to pick two people, I would talk to Christopher Nolan and just nerd out on movies.
Right.
I would love to talk to Leonardo DiCaprio about movies.
Like, talking about how he's smashing these 19-year-olds.
Yeah, that's icing on the cake.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I'd love to talk to Quentin Tarantino.
I would like to. Tarantino would be great, too.
Yeah.
But I would really like to know, like, when they're alone, after the throes of passion, that big, milky, white Elon Musk body of his.
Yeah.
What is DiCaprio talking to, like, with a 19-year-old? I mean, like, 19-year-olds, their brains don't work right, man. I mean, they can't even look around properly. They always used to look in their phones. Have you ever seen a 19-year-old look around?
Oh, he's never going to look at their face.
No, but like, have you ever tried to look at a 19-year-old actually like look at things?
No, there's wonderment.
Their eyes, the muscles aren't developed properly.
No,
their heads, it's like watching a parrot in a window.
Yeah, there's wonderment. They're like, wow, this is new.
And this
wow. Oh, you mean I have to use a physical knob to do something?
Am I IRL?
Me? Yeah.
Is this IRL?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's what I want to know. Like, yo, Leo. Number one, like, you got an Oscar for getting raped by a bear. And, like, you know, you're smashing 19-year-olds. Good for you.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's talking shit about you. Anybody talking shit about you is a hater, straight up. But afterwards, like, what are you guys like? And here's the thing. If you're dating a 19-year-old and she is as intelligent and as smart and as put together as a 35 or a 45-year-old, she's going to get all your money. Like, sooner or later, that 19-year-old at that level of intelligence is, like, Mensa shit, and she's probably already planning a way to get all your money.
Oh,
and she will.
Oh, yeah, but Leonardo DiCaprio's like, he's probably just like, these are the terms of relationship. You know how I roll.
He's got the prenup.
Yeah, he's like
the relationship. He's got the dating prenup.
Yeah, exactly.
The contract.
Yeah, he's got it all figured out.
He probably does.
Yeah, because I would just like to go to, like, if I'm there, like, there's certain people you want to drink with, you want to party with,
yeah.
And some people you just want to, like, just talk about movies with, and like that's for me, that'd be the most enriching thing.
That would be enriching. Like, I would like just like glean knowledge.
Yeah. That's what I want to learn. And be like, you know, like, so the word gets around. Like, what does he want to do? Like, we just talked about movies the entire time.
Yeah. I think there's like, there are certain people who that would be a lot of fun with. Like, mm-hmm. That would be like the Nolans, the Rogans, like those people would be a lot of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Seth Rogen for talking about like just comic book stuff.
How did you pivot from a stand-up comedian
mm-hmm.
to like a filmmaker?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you were making good movies, you wrote good movies, you were interested in doing that.
Yeah. And storytelling on a larger scale
mm-hmm. than just writing Pineapple Express.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden you're creating like television content that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to know that. Christopher Nolan, like where did this like Rolodex of good ideas, what was the birthplace of the Rolodex of good ideas?
Yeah. Where do what movies do you reference? Like what scenes do you reference? Right. Why do you like this? Like, what did you extrapolate from that? And put it into this movie, for example, right?
School words, man. Extrapolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be the way to go. Speaking of movies, this is another thing that was
yes.
on the top of my mind.
Mm.
They're getting rid of Zippity Doodah from the Disney parade there.
Oh, okay.
Because of Song of the South.
Yeah.
And Song of the South is like, obviously has like extremely propagandist storytelling as far as how slavery was depicted mm-hmm. in the movie. Slaves just happy,
yep.
walking home. The white man who beats the shit out of me for not picking enough cotton is treating me really well today.
Yeah.
And white people see that and they're like, not racist at all. Not racist. It's like, don't you get that this is propaganda?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to think it was cool when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to look back at it with the lens of a six-year-old.
Yeah.
But it's also okay for you to be like, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
So white people didn't feel as bad for beating the shit out of black people because they didn't hit their quota.
Yeah, they're just absolved of guilt.
Absolved of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, they were property. Mm-hmm. They weren't people who worked for you. They were not employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to look at that movie and be like, I get why you're pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem, I think, with, like, the divide of, like, well-meaning, well-intentioned majority against a minority that is trying to explain to you why something hurts.
Yeah, I think the whole Zippity Doodah thing, it's like, as with all this stuff, I think mm-hmm. I don't agree with the fact of like shoving it under like a bed
right.
to hide it from like, and then just, and then, you know, whatever you don't like, and then like put your own little shine on it and,
right,
just,
right.
and edit it out and then just present it and be like, anyone with like a modicum of like common sense could be like, I see where this is edited.
Right.
Like, why did you take that out?
Right.
We know where it came from.
Yes.
You can't hide everything from everybody. So, and be like, so it's okay. It's a balance between how much do people care and how many people are actually going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think like I'm on board with that idea. I don't think you cancel it. I don't think you take the whole, look, if people have been talking about how there are like, it is propaganda.
Yes.
Like Song of the South is straight up propaganda to make people feel better
mm-hmm.
about what happened during like, you know, America's past.
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think to like shove it away is wrong. I think it's more like probably better for everybody if you just discuss why it's propaganda.
I think it's better to have that discussion.
And 100%.
Yeah, and to bring it out to the limelight and then just be like, do you remember like we had this back in the day? We talked about this. And who did it affect? It affected black people more, right? So
right.
then get black people to talk about it and ask them, is this something you want to keep in the... you want to keep this in media or how do you guys feel about it?
Well, I mean, exactly. Do you want to scrub this from the archives or do you keep the archives and discuss why it's wrong?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a matter of like, it's not about forgetting it. It's about like, realizing that it happened and mm-hmm. it was aired at a certain time. So I would like, I can't speak for like black people when it comes to like viewing this, maybe like, I'm not sure how they regard it, but you know, if the black people who grew up with it mm-hmm. and understood like why, where it happened,
right.
when it came out, what it's supposed to mean, then if they have no problem with it, why don't you like consult them and then decide what the action is going to be after that.
Right.
They didn't consult the East Indian community when they canceled Apu.
No, they just, somebody took offense to it.
Yeah. For us.
Which is fine for us. Somebody took offense to it. And it's a different thing too, right? Because he wasn't, look, man, like, I think it's not propaganda in that he's happy being who he is after being oppressed. Apu is a character who literally shows up in the show with no backstory, no story of oppression being shown to you.
No.
He's not a slave. He's not an indentured worker. He's just a guy who runs a business voiced by a white guy who uses an accent. Now, whether or not Hank Azaria embellishes the origins of that accent or the story, like, he's told multiple stories about how it happened.
Yeah.
There's not like an oppression system happening there. In fact, it's the opposite. He is arguably the most successful and smarter character in that environment. He's smarter than Wiggum. He's smarter than The Simpsons.
Yep.
He's more caring than Smithers or Burns. Like, he is like a moral guideline for most of the characters in that show.
Yeah.
Whereas Song of the South is more about, hey, so it wasn't all bad for slaves. It's like, no, it was bad for slaves. Hey, they worked for us. They weren't property. They were employees.
Mm-hmm.
They had quarters. It was great. Don't worry about it. They could go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. But
no, when you let them.
When you let them,
like,
yeah.
They couldn't go home at the end of the day. They had to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, not everyone would had, like, you know, not everyone's was singing by the end of the day with the children there.
Yeah, no. And like, when they were singing, it was songs about, like, you know, freedom.
Freedom, yeah.
It wasn't like, I mean, did nobody watch an episode of Fresh Prince?
Yeah, they're like,
go. Like, they talk about that song. Did nobody see the Dave Chappelle bit?
Yeah.
When he's carrying the stool. Go look at the Dave Chappelle, the Wade in the Water, the carrying the stool, water, yeah, stool, yeah, sketch. That will tell you why Song of the South is bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that's propaganda. They're not singing zippity-doo-dah. They're singing zippity-doo-dah, I didn't get my ass beat today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, zippity-doo-dah means get the hell out of here before I get my ass kicked.
Yeah, hey, he let me go home early without a beating or a talking to, or, you know, like...
I can talk to you today. Yeah, my teeth are broken.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't all, like, you know, Guns N' Roses. But for Apu, it's very different, right? For us, canceling Apu, I always feel like, is one guy's knee-jerk reaction to being a dumpy, like, slovenly idiot. And then being called Apu by a racist, and then him taking it personally, having enough clout to make a documentary about it.
Yeah.
And then not acknowledging, like, can we acknowledge how probably Cal Penns, the Van Wilder character, is worse for Indians as an Indian actor than what Apu was to Indians?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, the Cal Penn character in Van Wilder, I haven't even seen the movie because I see that guy and it pisses me off.
That's another guy. If I saw him at the Oscars, I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't punch him in the face, but I'd probably give him this exact conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you fucking hypocrite.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but we had to do something to get a job in Hollywood. Like, I can change it from the inside out. But have you? Like, Adi Shankar, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got all this clout now and YouTube with all the shows you're making. You got a Netflix show, but Adi Shankar isn't using any of that clout to make strong Indian characters, male or female or genderless leads in his projects going forward. No, you're hiring a bunch of white people. Like, you know, make me a Punisher movie as a brown guy as the main character.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
You know, how about that? Give me that. Hire a brown guy as the next Punisher in a short film. Dirty Laundry, call it Clean Laundry. And he's cleaning up the streets because, you know, he's going to be pristine because he's a brown guy. We take care of our shit. We're clean.
Oh, have you seen the RRR yet?
No, not yet. But I saw the whole Oscars controversy thing and the dance number kind of stuff.
Got to see that movie.
Fucking
so number. Good, man.
I heard it's good.
It's so good.
And good that it's, see, like,
it's, that, it's like, if you want to be like mind blown, like, what the hell was that? Like,
right. And exactly what the community needs. It doesn't need the Van Wilder thing. We need more shit like that.
That, yeah.
Just, don't cancel Apu. Push more of this content out.
Yeah, exactly. That stuff will get everybody noticed. And then, because even the director was like, he was talking to James Cameron about, that movie. James Cameron found him and grabbed him, and he said, he goes, I loved that movie. He's like, he goes, you give me a call when you want to come to Hollywood.
Oh, that's great.
I'll take care of you. Yeah.
I mean, from what you mentioned it 4 or 5 episodes ago, from what I saw, like, on YouTube and looking at it, it was like getting a lot of buzz.
Mm.
It looks pretty nice. Like, I mean, it looks beautifully made.
Oh yeah. It's beautifully made. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know really anything about it.
It's like my parents watched it. My uncles watched it. I watched it with them and we're sitting there. We're like, that was so entertaining. Like, that was amazing. That was so much fun to watch. It's a family movie. You can watch it. It's ultra violent. It's a family movie.
It is. They only like kill a few people.
Yeah. It's like watching.
They maim the rest.
Yeah. It's like watching Die Hard with your parents in the 80s. Like, it's just like, it's so over the top violent. It's like, it's crazy. The animals are fighting humans. Like, it's just, it's out of control. I'm not making this up. It's like, it's crazy.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't know anything about it, but I'm pretty interested now that you said animals are fighting humans.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I'll take it. I will give that a shot. I'm down with that. Let's see. We got politicians and a lack of common sense.
Yeah.
Fucking ethics violations abound.
Abound.
In Canadian politics skin. Like, why is it? Well, I know what it is. we think politicians are somehow like Mensa members. They're all the super smart 19.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Who become these like highly intelligent, like Nobel Peace Prize worthy.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're dummies.
They're dummies. They're just like desperate for like these high power positions, but like they just can scrounge enough money to get people to vote for them.
Right. All forward facing, like public facing politicians, actors, media personalities, they're all just trying to get laid.
Yeah.
And this is just another way for them to do it.
Oh, Rachel Notley. No, don't be someone wants to pound Rachel Notley.
All of them do. They're none of them have good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a popularity contest through and through. They just want the self gratification.
Yeah.
Look how great I am.
Yeah.
Look what I'm doing for you. Nobody, they're all bureaucrats. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
Liberal, conservative, nothing changes. And they're all doing favors for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're all garbage.
They're all hot garbage.
all just like a different level of garbage. So don't lift them up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't prop one up to be like, oh, he is this like
he's beacon our savior. Of light.
He's our savior.
No one gives a shit. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about you or anybody. None of them do.
None of them do.
No.
They're all hot garbage and they're all making deals for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Chrétien gave his buddies a deal. Harper gave his buddies a deal.
Yeah.
This new one there in Trudeau's cabinet gave her friend a deal.
Yeah.
They're all garbage.
They're all garbage. Don't trust any of it. Hate them all. Kill them all. Burn them all.
Fuck them all. Don't kill them all. That's aggressive.
Oh, sorry, I meant fuck them all.
Fuck them all.
Yeah.
In the bum. maybe. It's like it comes down to my theory about how like, telling somebody to suck a dick, go suck a dick, is not homophobic.
No.
Because I don't think anybody really wants to suck a dick. I mean, as a straight, like, cis male.
Yeah.
I don't see the appeal of doing that action. So I don't think anybody wants to.
It serves a purpose.
It serves a purpose. I'm sure it feels fine.
Yeah.
But like, have you ever...
For both parties, because you're like, you know, like, you don't want anything flaccid.
Well, I don't think for both parties. I don't think the person, like sucking a dick wants to really suck a dick. Like, I don't, unless you've got a weird kink, like that's like your fetish, but nobody seems to really want to. I think they're all kind of playing a part. I've never thought anybody's really enjoying that when it's going down. I feel like it's always like something they feel like they have to do.
Well, it depends. Like, I've never had to ask for it.
Yeah, because they're trying to do something to make you feel good,
and then
that you reciprocate.
Yeah, reciprocated. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to.
It's a give and take thing.
It's a give and take thing.
Oh yeah, because no one's ever said like quote unquote, I like to do this. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah. Which is why I think it's become like a derogatory term.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you go fucking suck a dick? It's because nobody really wants to.
Yeah. Because your response to that should be like, I really don't want to.
I don't really want to. No. And me as a visual guy, like whenever I look down, I'm like, you know, that's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously that like, they look like Ghostface from Scream because they're like, they're making a face.
If someone said this, why don't you go suck a dick? I'm like, no.
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 Because you're the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Give me the heebie-jeebies.
Stop saying that to me.
I don't think anybody wants to. Like gay, straight, whatever your bag is.
Just say that. Like, I don't want to.
I really don't want to.
You know what? If you said that response, what would their reaction be? I'm like, why don't you go suck a dick, man? I'm like, I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nobody does.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does.
What do you think? And then next thing you know, you guys talk about it. Maybe you make a friend.
Maybe you make a friend.
Yeah.
Maybe you make a friend.
It's a good icebreaker.
Man.
I never thought about it that way. No one really does want to. Yeah.
Nobody wants to.
My girlfriend does. Trust me. She does it.
Some do. Mm-hmm. Some do. But I mean, at the same time, I think it's a reciprocation or it's a kink.
Or, yeah, don't, but just talk about it. Like, man, like, you really think so? She wants to? That's what she says. I'm like, buddy, let's sit down for a second.
She wants something in return.
Yeah,
she wants to put a thumb in your bum.
Yeah, exactly.
She wants to see how you're going to react. She'll do that. She wants to put a thumb in your bum.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she loves it. I'm like, nah, buddy.
No.
Let's get real here.
She wants a little bit of reciprocation. Yeah. She wants you to start going downtown more.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we hit it all. I think we hit a bunch of stuff. Explosive rage was something on my mind today. Why? I mean, it's something we don't do. I'm not really prone to it. You're not really prone to it.
Explosive rage?
People who have... It seems more and more, and this is the only reason I think of this is because Mike Tyson had that quote about social media is giving people a false sense of reality.
Yeah.
Like you think that you're not going to get punched in the mouth. Like social media and blowing up on social media, like losing your shit and yelling at somebody.
Yeah.
You're doing it from a distance. So now like, okay, so today I'm walking down, I'm going down the grocery store. I got my shopping cart, full shopping cart. I'm going to my car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in a straight line. And in the distance, we're talking a good like 50 meters away, this broad gets out of her car and she's walking towards me and like I'm hugging the side so like everybody can get around me. Like I'm making room
in
the
space I'm at.
I try to be a good person because like, you know, I don't want to be an asshole.
Yeah.
And she just like starts angling directly towards me because I can feel like there's like a, is she playing chicken? Is she like starting to do this thing where she wants me to move when there's like an entire.
Those are head games.
Those are head games, right? Yeah. So I sped up. So I went in the street line. I started walking faster. And she kind of, and she's looking right at me. I don't, you can't be that lost in thought that you went out of your way to get in front of me. And now you're walking towards me.
Maybe so. That was her icebreaker.
No, man. No, I don't think so. I'm a goblin. So I'm going a straight line and I'm just like, I'm now moving faster. And she kind of gives me the whole like the whole like thing. She moves out of the way and gives me a look. And I was like, oh, what do you fucking expect? Like, oh. I mean, but I feel like it was a reality check for her going forward. Like maybe the way you act with your friends and your friends let you get away being this person.
Yeah.
You've now evolved that. You've Pokemon grown up. And now in the real world, you think you can set things on fire.
Yeah.
And some dude in a shopping cart was moving in your direction like a crazy person. Because that exists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You've been allowed to get to where you are and nobody's like emotionally put you in check. Nobody's given you a reality check.
Yeah.
And that's like the thing that's happening, which is leading to more and more of this like explosive childlike temper tantrum rage.
No,
you see it on planes, you see it in the streets.
Yep. I'm the same way. I remember I said this to my manager like last week. Yeah, last week. And I just said, I made a comment and then I was like talking about it. She says, why would you need to take it there? Like kind of a passive-aggressive, really passive-aggressive tone.
Right.
And she's known for that. I just said...
Why would you go to an explosive rage place?
Yeah, so that she said that. And I said, what's with your passive-aggressive tone? I said, she's like, wait, what do you mean? Then she's like, what? I said, I'm like, you are so... Like, your attitude, like, you have these passive-aggressive comments that are just not appreciated.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm like...
Reality check.
Yeah, I said, I'm just letting you know because, like, it's... It's starting to bother me, but I can let it slide, but it's bothering everybody else. I'll say that right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so excellent.
Like, and then 5 minutes and then 2 minutes later before I left the office, she was totally fine.
Yep.
So
sometimes
yeah.
It just has
you
to
just have, yeah, you just have to like, you know, snatch a collar and punch him in the face just to, verbally just to like say something.
It's, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. It's that hockey fight.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're walking around smashing people.
Yeah.
You're getting away with it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes Zach Cassian grabs your collar.
Yeah.
And fucking ragdolls
you. Yeah. Cause like the thing is Tuesday, you have to spend like, I don't spend that much time at the office, but like if I was spending 8 hours with her, let's just try to get through these 8 hours. I don't want to hear I don't do that to you. So don't do it to me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't do that passive-aggressive game.
I'm so polite at work. I'm very nice to everybody, but...
As you should be.
Yeah, but if you want a 180, that's fine. Yeah. I can provide that service for you.
I'm witty.
Yeah.
And I've got way more zingers than you.
Oh, yeah. Just pick your poison. Any which way you want me to insult you, just pick. Like, I have
a dealing with a heckler.
Oh, yeah. I have a Rolodex. Let me know.
I've got a Rolodex of, like, I'm cocked. It's like I've got one in the chamber, and there's 11 more ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
However many there are on that particular gun.
There's 40 years of movie references and insults that I have locked away in my...
ready to go.
Yeah. So, like, bring it on. I'll bring it. I'll unleash on. I'll just... Whatever you want, you pick a year.
Pick a year. I got a Rolodex at FU just waiting to go.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but it's, I think,
I don't know. I'm like, because the thing is, like, when she said it, and I was like, everything, it was a quick calculation. I'm like, okay, I'm at this age. I'm at this point in my life. I'm like, I don't do this to anybody else. Why am I taking this?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it just clicked. I'm like, fuck it. And then I just said it.
Just launch it out.
Yeah.
I didn't work in a lot of offices, I mean, in my life. That's a lie. I've worked in a bunch, but they were all management and security. Mm-hmm. So like I'd work in a place like a casino and there'd be like a management team and I was like a security manager. So I have to like deal with those people in that point. Mm-hmm. But usually I worked in departments that were like fairly left alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this one lady one time, this whole issue happened with a fight, like an actual UFC, an MFC event.
Yeah.
It was like a mixed martial arts event. And then there was a kid who was underage who wanted to come in because he came from like Ireland to watch his brother fight. And then they needed like a special permission, like an access to go in there, watch them fight in an area that didn't have alcohol in it. So I knew there were ways for that to happen. Like if you do it fast enough, you can talk to certain people within certain organizations that will let you get like a pass, lets you go in there as long as you're escorted, all that kind of crap. So I was in the position to be able to make that happen by letting them know that was available. You might not get it, but you might get it.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just go and try? You came all this way, like across the country, the world, to see your brother fight in an event.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go and contact these people? If they say no, you're right where you are now. If they say yes, then you get something.
Yeah.
And then the people who were not involved in that at all, but they were in management in the building, were all over my ass. Like, why would you even say that? So I had to put everybody in this like calm check. Like, everybody just relax. It's probably not going to happen. Besides, it's not your problem. It's my problem. Mm-hmm. This area is my problem. Your area is putting up tents and putting up seating. That's what you do. Let me deal with the complications of this.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it had gotten back to upper management while I wasn't there. And the main guy, the general manager's secretary, walked up to me and she's like, I hear you're in trouble. And it came right up.
Remember you showed me that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It like rapid fire just came out of my mouth where I was like, bitch, I'm not in trouble.
I'm an adult.
So like there might be an issue with something, but like I'm not in trouble. And it was just such an insult. And this is years ago. So it was in a time when you can get away with saying something like that. But it was just like, I was so like put off by you that just takes fucking notes and poorly, I might add. Like nobody likes you mm-hmm. in the office. And you're walking up to me and wagging a finger at me, this look on your face. And her tone changed immediately. Mm-hmm. I walked with her back to the office to find out who was saying that I was in trouble.
Yeah.
And I made sure the people there knew that she had just told me in those words, like I was a child. So somebody needs to ask me what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Before talking about me behind my back. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't rude. It wasn't aggressive. That first part was, but it wasn't like an aggressive, like, hey, who the fuck's been talking about? It's very much like somebody needs to explain to me why people are talking about me.
Yeah.
And my department behind my back. Mm-hmm. And all the people who were suddenly were like supplicant. Mm-hmm. They walked up and they're like, hey man, like just everybody chill. It's fine. I'm like, yeah, I know it's fine. Explain to me why this is your problem, not my problem. And it was just, I had to put people in check because you've got to do that. Mm-hmm. And it sets a tone.
It does. Yeah.
It
resets the tone. Yeah. You have to, but the thing is that you have to set the tone early.
You have to do it early.
Yeah. So like if people know that, you know what, I wouldn't say that to him right now.
Yeah. Maybe like, let's find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Are we in the right or the wrong in this situation?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just like, ah, say what I'm like, ah, whatever. Even if like, I do get like, even if I do get like called out on something, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I just deal. I'm like, yeah, you know what? And so I think they were like, I remember I got pulled into the office once about like, how I was like behaving in front of a client mm-hmm. at a site. And I said, if they feel that way, that's fine. If you want to take me off the client, that's totally fine. I totally understand it. But they were looking for ways to break me, I think. Because they were just like looking at it. They were just looking at me. They're like, yeah, like...
resilient motherfucker.
Well, I think they're just like looking at me like how they're saying like, yeah, you know what? The client was saying this. And like, anything to say? And I said, no. I'm like, if that's the way they feel, that's fine.
Yeah, I said what I said and stand by it.
I'm like, if that's the way they feel... I'm sorry if I'm not the right person for them. I totally understand that. If you want to take me off the client, I'm like, I have no problem with that. I don't want to be anywhere where I'm not wanted. So as long as you don't lose the client, that's the most important thing. So if you want to pull me off, that's fine. And so they're like, oh, okay.
Okay. So
why did you just say that?
You're an adult. It's like, oh my God, you're a grown up and I don't know where to go with this.
Fuck. I'm like, dude, what kind of people have you been dealing with before I got there? Like, fuck.
Children.
Yeah.
They were dealing with children and they themselves are children.
Yeah. Like, why didn't they like me? I'm like, I don't care if they like me. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, those people could, that company could like that company could like live forever or go out of business tomorrow. I don't care. Like either way.
I'm here to do a job.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the job as best I can.
Yeah.
So like, they don't like my tone. That's the them.
Yeah. And I ran into those people like at the mall. I just ghosted them completely.
Just like,
yeah.
Just give them the whole like. Look away and walk away? Or yeah, was it like, straight up? Like, you saw them coming?
Like,
and...
Yeah, I saw them coming. I was like, oh, whatever. And then I walked right towards them and I just went like that.
Fucking Kramer and the girlfriend.
Yeah, I was at the bay. And I was like, I walked right past them.
They went to your boss and they're like, wasn't you that guy Raj?
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's Raj. We saw him right there. I'm like,
he snubbed me.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Well,
like,
you had it coming.
Yeah, you had it coming.
So you had the snub coming.
Whatever. I don't care about you people.
I don't care about you.
Fuck the client.
Fuck. Hey, ho. I would like an advertiser someday. I would like to maybe not, you know, F the client.
F the client.
Actually, if we do get advertised someday, I think we should.
We'll love you guys.
We'll love you guys. Yeah. You'll be very nice.
Yeah, to this
you.
Is a different. This is a different. It's like industry completely.
It's a different industry completely.
Yeah.
It's innovative. We're nice to people. We're very polite. We don't tell anybody.
I tend to mirror people's reactions,
and which is that's a sign of an adult. I think what the moral of this part of the podcast is that a lot of people are just larger children. Like in every way, they're impulsive, they're stupid, they haven't been parented right, mm-hmm. and those are the people we're talking about. Like they act like children, they have temper tantrums, they explode, they have these rage outs because they don't know how to interact with people like adults.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is that I think when people are not like surrounding themselves with like really, I guess like mature and intelligent people at a certain age, mm-hmm. and they don't take that they don't take that gift of like how to deal with people, how to talk to people. A lot of information that people older than you, but they you're at a young age, and they just pour all this knowledge into you. If you don't take that into, like, when you don't, if you don't absorb that when you're young and apply it to when you're older, that's a gift. And I was glad that I got that with, like, a, like, friends and family. And if you don't use that when you're older, it's just like, it's a waste.
It's a waste.
Because you learn how to deal with people. You learn how to deal with, like, stress, how to deal with, like complications at work.
Right.
You learn how to wear different masks when it comes to, like, different clients, different at work, at home, or with your friends. And so, yeah, it's like, it's you, if you don't have that, or if you haven't developed those skills, you are going to lead a very, very, not a hard life, but you're going to have really hard time coping with a lot of, like
you're going to be the problem.
In you're going to have a hard time dealing with, like, a lot of, like, wild things that life's going to throw at you.
You know why I compare that to that explanation right there? Old drivers aren't bad drivers.
No,
they've been bad drivers since they were young.
Yeah.
They've just lived a life of being shitty.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you never see, like, you never complain about you never acknowledge a good older driver.
Yeah.
Cause you don't see them.
No,
the ones you complain about are, like, you see an old guy, like, fucking old drivers, man. What the hell? Like, terrible drivers.
No.
Like, no. They're not bad because they're old. They've been terrible their whole life.
Yeah.
They never had good mentorship. They never had good people who they chose to model their style or career after.
Yeah.
They've been terrible since day one. They're just now terrible at an older level.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to recognize that when someone's giving you really good advice, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to take that, and I'm never going to forget what that person just said. Yep. And just apply that to my life.
Yeah, man.
And so, like, just how to treat people, how to talk to people, how to be around people, how to manage stress, how to manage, how to, like, enjoy things. It's just like how to not take things for granted, how not to take people for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are lessons you learn. It's like, and you can't let those things go stale, because if you do, it's a horrible thing to lose.
Yep.
And there's people who have just say, like, oh, you know what? We're going to be bros for life. Next thing you know, family or friend. And next thing you know, the relationship has gone stale because you've put so much effort into this relationship, and they've just been like,
they're not.
It's teeter-tottered.
Right.
Where it's like, they're not like, they're not picking up their end of the couch. So,
you know, that's a good way to put it. The teeter-totter, right? Mm-hmm. You're carrying all the weight, and they're just, like, lifted by everything you give them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's no reciprocation.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't reciprocation. It's not like it's like a blowjob. I mean, like, eventually you want to be reciprocated on.
Yeah.
But it's like, you are putting them up and they're not putting you up. Yeah. They're not lifting you up. You're always lifting them up.
Yeah. And that's where, and then, like, that translates into, like, you know what? I can't invest any more effort and time into this relationship.
Right.
And that's where relationships get cut off, especially at our age.
Yeah.
And if it happens when you're younger, that sucks. But at least you have to recognize, like, how much value are these people providing for you.
Right.
And so after that, you're just like, cut them loose.
Cut them loose, homie.
It's sad. And then, and those people are whether they're still like, you have to be honest with them, because if you're not, those people are going to keep trying to, like, get inside your life, or at some point in life, like, hey, what's going on? And then you're like, oh man, this is awkward.
This is awkward because you're not,
especially if it's family. You're like, oh God.
Right.
Yeah.
You are not who you think you are.
No.
And I am not benefiting from this relationship.
Yeah. We can't pick up because we haven't talked in 17 years. We can't pick up where 17 years was.
Oh man, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's always, I've talked about it recently, but I just did that recently.
It's not 2000. It's not 2004 anymore. Right? Exactly.
Yeah, that was 17 years ago. But no, it's like, I've just had that where, and funny enough, like about 2004 or five, where I picked up a relationship. Me and a friend of mine have this, like, this weird relationship where it doesn't matter how many years have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like a day has gone by.
Yeah.
And we have this understanding that I don't always call, but I'll always pick up when you call.
Yeah.
And I'll always carry my end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll always carry my amount of weight in this relationship.
Yeah.
And we appreciate each other for that. Mm-hmm. And he knows that about me. I'm really bad at keeping in touch with him in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always there for him if he calls. At the same time, we ourselves, like in our little friends group, we've got a few friends who are like that we try to keep in touch with, and a lot who just don't.
Yeah.
They've either got us locked in idea of who we were when we last spoke or who they think they are in the relationship.
Yeah.
And I just don't make the effort, and they just don't make the effort. And it's that raisin, man. It's like, it used to be a big juicy freaking grape, and now it's just a dry decrepit raisin, and neither of us is putting water on that thing.
Yeah. I think it's the most important thing you should do from your own end is just be like, be able to be honestly tell yourself that I put forth as much effort as I could.
Mm-hmm.
To salvage this relationship. If you can say that to yourself and be honest about that,
right,
then you have nothing to be guilty about. No reason to feel guilty.
Right.
Or just to be like, you know, or maintain contact or just like try to like get those embers burning again, for example. Right. But like, yeah, if you can say that and then, cause you hate to be like, man, I would love to like see that person again, but I really screwed up that relationship. I'm like, I he was the last person to call. Something happened and then like, I didn't screw that. And like, that's a horrible place to be.
It's a bad feeling, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling to feel like you dropped the ball on something and now you don't know where to come back with it.
Exactly. So, and then sometimes you're just like, and if that happens, sometimes it just takes like, you know what? Fuck it. Just pick up the phone.
Yeah, just pick up the phone, man.
Yeah.
Because at least you tried.
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want to do is like, you know what? I could have tried and I didn't try. What's the worst that's going to happen? You pick up the phone, you call somebody you haven't talked to for 17, 18, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You always wanted to. You know, you're still thinking in your head like he was one of my best friends when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And then you pick up the phone. They're like, hey, man, you finally decided to call. You never did call me. Well, I needed you 5, 10 years ago. Like, well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And if they get mad at you, like, you know what? Don't call me again. You're like, yeah, I tried.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
the worst is you try. You'll be cool with yourself.
Yeah.
Be good with God.
Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, but yeah. And if, but
the
if
same mentality.
Yeah. So, but if you're good with like not having those people in your life, then yeah, just keep going. Just plug it. Just plug away.
There are some people.
Yeah. So
there are some people. Like, yep. You know, this is a lot easier that you were out. things are running pretty smooth. Like this plane, there's no turbulence.
Yeah.
You know, it's going. There's nobody walking past me in the aisle and dropping ass.
We're flying above the cloud layer and it's there is zero turbulence.
Smooth sailing, homie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know that making that phone call is going to be bringing like an alcoholic to a rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like suddenly trying to ride the bull and push the bull right out of the way.
Exactly.
And just seeking glory. This is my uncle. I'm the most glorious. You don't know.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm mixing metaphors, but that's what it feels like. It's just like, it's just better. It's just so much better with you not around. life has been pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's been a smooth ride so far.
Smooth ride so far. Hey buddy. I think we hit a bunch of stuff there.
All right. Life lesson for everybody.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Just, and then, take to heart what the people you respect the most in your life. Look to them for anything.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not ashamed to tell those people like how much I appreciated their help.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you this. I was never one to look for mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I was never one to look for role models. I have a very weird relationship, like adults, when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
because like I lost a lot of like meaningful adults in my life,
mm-hmm.
and people are always trying to do that for me. I never really looked for it. Mm-hmm. I was always the first one to be like, I don't need you, but there are definitely people out there who don't realize that I modeled a lot of what I did by the way they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
And you have to do at least that.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to at least look at somebody who is either successful or, you know, like morally strong, has good ethics, and decide like, I'm going to be like that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because the opposite is not good for me. It's not good for the people I'm around.
Yeah.
You know, the opposite is basically like an asshole.
Yeah.
I'd rather not be that. I'll be assertive. I'll be steadfast. You know, that knight's code kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's like, just don't be an asshole. Just try to be good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you have to look at that and kind of be like, Do you know? You know, you have to be that person. At mm-hmm. least don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Find somebody who's not being a dick and try to be like them a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't have to be like they don't have to be like a what's it called? A Batman to your Robin?
No.
They don't have to be the Superman to your Crypto.
Yeah.
The Wonder Dog.
Actually, you know what? I was watching that the Snyder Cut. Just one scene from it.
No, why would you do
that? Well, no, I don't. I haven't seen the movie. I just watched that the end scene where Batman's talking to the Joker.
Hmm.
And I have to give one thing. If Jared Leto was that Joker in a movie, it would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I guess.
Because that one line he said, like his delivery on that speech he made to Batman, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I will concede defeat on that.
Yeah, one. it wasn't bad because he's like, when he flipped that card and the zoom went into his eyes, when mm-hmm. he was unfocused, he's like, he goes, I'll explain to you in any way you like why you sent a boy wonder to do a man's job.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a very good line.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I will concede to a lot.
How she suffered so. Poor Lois.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I'm 50-50 on a lot of it. I'm 100% garbage for most of it.
I haven't seen that's the only scene I've seen from the movie.
But there are glimmers of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
There are little like scenes that shine through.
I've seen
like how he just like, we can't help but go back to Batman.
Yeah, I like how he's
the end of a podcast.
Yeah, I like he's wearing the SWAT thing. He's wearing the dishwasher gloves.
Yes, you know what? It's true because that's how that character would be in a post-apocalyptic dystopian
Yeah.
Well, apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah, I just like that line. Scenario. He's like, poor Lois. How she suffered so.
God. If he just didn't have the grills in that movie.
I don't think he does in the
Snyder. No, I mean the what's it called?
In
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, yeah.
If he didn't have the grills and didn't like overplay this, like, I'm so zany. Like, if he didn't do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he had just played it a little more straight.
Yeah.
Like, if he had played that the way that Tim Drake Joker was in Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
That version Jared Leto would have been incredible. Would have been
great, yeah.
Very clean cut. Not as wild as the animated series.
Yeah.
No zippy one-liners. Just very, I'm here to do some business. I'm here to ruin Batman's life again.
Yeah, because I think the problem with Jared Leto is, and like...
Jared Leto?
Is that he's just...
He's Jared Leto.
He's, okay, regardless of that, like just physically speaking, he's, for the Joker, he should have been way more scarred. Because he's just too, his face is, he's too good looking.
I can see that.
Yeah.
As much as I dislike that guy, he's a good looking son.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy.
And he's so talented. Like, he's a great musician.
He's an okay musician.
No, but his music is not that great, but he's able to play instruments.
His skills are, he's got very high skill level.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's got a very high skill
level. I'm not into his music, but like.
He makes trash.
Yeah. But
he makes formulaic, like, garbage.
Yeah, because like now that I'm learning how to make music, It's not easy.
No, it's not easy, man. It's
not easy at all.
I mean, playing the piano at our age, like learning when I was in my late 30s was not easy.
Yeah.
It was very difficult.
I should have learned earlier.
I mean, I'm thinking about picking, you know, being a guy who I can't play the drums anymore the way I used to in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played drums in like 20 years. But having like an understanding of separation made it easier, but it was still really hard.
Yeah.
And now like I'm thinking about starting to like pick up the guitar and it's like, it seems impossible. So to know somebody is out there who can do it well, it's like, I'm envious when I see somebody do that really well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very envious. And not in a way where I'm like, fuck that guy. I wish that was me. It's like, no, I want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
How much harder is this going to be for me? Like, when is it going to click, right?
Yeah.
When is that like aha moment going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm looking forward to, but it is very difficult.
And watch Physical 100.
Oh God, I just started.
What'd you think?
I just started. Incredible.
It's incredible.
I saw the first episode.
It's better than Squid Games.
When Akiyama shows up and everybody's like, oh, what?
The respect he gets, yeah.
Oh my God. It's like, it is, like, everybody's chill and everybody's relaxed and everybody's cool.
Everyone's respectful of each other.
They're all famous until he walks in and it's like, did Batman just walk in? Oh my God, Batman's here?
Yeah.
It's,
and one guy
I'm
in that
looking forward to.
Yeah, one guy on that show is so strong. He just walks in, he's like, this is like nothing for me.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, man.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He's hilarious. And he's like, yeah, no, this is nothing. He goes, but the whole show shows you what strength, what big muscles actually mean.
Right.
And like, what types of strength are good for like certain tests.
Yeah.
And which aren't.
Yeah, it's not a I'm better because.
Yeah,
it's more like, this is why this type is better.
Yeah, so like, it's not like the guy with the biggest muscles is best at every challenge. Some challenges you're just like, you know what, this guy's out because like, he just like, his big muscles don't help him.
Well, I mean, first episode.
Yeah, and like there's
the hanging?
Yeah, the hanging. Yeah, it's
when
crazy.
When they noose up everybody? No, they have to hang from the rafters.
The rafters, yeah.
And it's in any way that you can hold yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold yourself up.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
And the physical challenges, they get absolutely bonkers. Yeah. Like you'll love that show.
I saw the preview because it's in the first like 15 minutes of the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, pulling the boats.
The boat one is the craziest.
There's some wild shit. They have like a challenge where they're kind of doing like water polo / wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like it's going to be bonkers. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks like a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. The boat one, you're just cheering for the girls. The women on the,
oh yeah, it looks like they're like,
they don't give up. They don't give up. They're just like, they're just like, fuck this, let's keep going.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be amazed by the results. You'll be like, holy shit, these guys are crazy.
I'm glad we ended on not Batman and Physical 100.
Yeah,
because well, in a way, it's a very Batman oriented training regiment.
It is, yeah.
You've got, I mean, Batman would do well in that.
And yeah, and they're like, see how these guys are just drenched in sweat.
Oh yeah, it is grueling.
Yeah.
It is grueling work.
And the women on there are like supermodels. Like it's beautiful to watch.
And the wild range.
Oh yeah.
Like the wild range of like skinny ballerina, like emaciated but very strong women.
Yeah.
Like these ballerina bodies that are just doing the most difficult tasks.
Yeah. And
their endurance is so high that they can do it.
Yeah.
And then like gigantic guys who are very strong who can't do certain tasks. Because their endurance is too low.
Yeah, and it's it's the full spectrum. And
yeah,
like, when you get to the sandbag one, that challenge is so much fun to watch. Yeah,
I'm so excited. Yeah. I was really like, I wasn't sold on Drive to Survive on F1,
mm-hmm.
even though it was like, you know, it's a very fun, like, this idea of like well shot.
Season racing. 5 wasn't that great.
No, but what I mean is like, regardless of how the story was.
That's just a throwaway comment.
Yeah, I don't know. Great comment. Good to know because I'm probably going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sold, even though I liked the idea of like the real world sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like not dramatized or like, yeah, because I do like wrestling too, but there's an element of getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's people doing hard stunt work and the element of getting injured.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I enjoy this so much. There's like, you know, it's real.
This is better
it's
than
control.
Yeah. I enjoy this more than Drive to Survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like the element of somebody getting injured is there.
Yeah.
The, watching somebody push their absolute limits.
Yeah.
You
see people at their absolute limit. Like they're just like, you could see them like they're just sweating, they're drenched.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to watch. Yeah.
And you know, it's good. Okay,
so like, yeah. And you, after you see that, you're like, I want to go to I'm going to the gym.
You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I watched it. I came downstairs and I started doing the 100 push-up challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I gotta start doing some push-ups.
It's amazing.
Like, I gotta start doing that all over again. Yeah. Get my endurance back up.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Like, and it's great because when they fight and stuff like that, they're just at the end, they're just like, they're respectful. They hug each other. Like, you know what, guys, we did our best. Let's see what happens.
That's really cool to watch as well. Like, the amount of love they have and respect they have for each other.
Yeah.
It never seems to go away.
Yeah. And you have to speak Korean, even if you're from another country. They have an ex-MLB pitcher in there. Like, he speaks Korean.
Oh, what's his name is in it? What's the dancer? He's been on a bunch of like American dance shows.
Yeah.
He's a black kid. He speaks like fluent Korean.
Yeah.
Got that one German kid, fluent Korean.
Yeah.
It's like, they're all like fluent Korean. And like, they, from the untrained ear, they're all speaking Korean like a Korean.
Yeah.
Like born and raised in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I'm sold. I really,
watch that show. I think it's probably the best show on Netflix right now.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, good tag at the end there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Peace out.
Just like that. Like, man. Nothing else? No, like,
No, I got nothing else.
Hey, man, how was your week this week?
Oh.
Nothing like...
Next week will be more interesting.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about what happened this week to you. That's not for the cameras, though. I'm just curious about, like, you know, that thing that happened in that place where all the people ran away.
What?
Nothing.
Oh.
We'll leave that as a mystery for after that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
an off-camera. Yeah, that'll be an off-camera.
That's an off-camera conversation. All right, now you can do your thing.
All right, peace out, guys. Have a good one.